Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today I am proud to bring you part two of Olympian Realms, and we'll continue to look at the highest heavens and also begin exploring our highest selves. And with me tonight, I have Nick Curto, I have Diane Duncan, and I have Mark and Phyllis Brinkerhoff. Let me connect them. Greetings and welcome all.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Great to be here.
Great to have you here, and I'm looking forward to continuing our conversation. We started looking at heaven from several different perspectives last time, but we didn't really get a chance to wrap up. So we'll start with Mark and Phyllis, and we can continue what they were sharing about the higher heavens.
Well, that's a big question, right?
Hey, thanks also, guys. Thanks, it's an honor being on radio with you all.
Well, Mark,
we love you all.
Mark always says the right thing.
I just wanted to let you all know.
Oh, thank you. Thank ditto. You.
And the crew, blessings.
from the high heavens.
From the high heavens.
Right.
I love this conversation, and somebody wrote into us also asking questions about, you know, how do you get to the high heavens?
She's listening right now.
Things of that nature.
Awesome.
And I said to Mark, being the one that has to worry about it, because he comes from the high heavens, that's the bottom line.
True.
The bottom line is this: part of Mark's problem on this planet is that he never had any fear that he wasn't going back to the high heavens, because it's where he came from, and he remembered.
Uh-huh.
Like our friend, I had to figure out, like, oh my God, am I good enough? Have I done enough good works? Do I think the right thoughts? And Mark and I were just discussing that before, you know, we got on the call, and I just want to throw this out and let Mark talk to it. Your desire is extremely important in ascending, your desire to ascend, because usually people that are trying to ascend are really beautiful, good people that are, you know, have the, you know, everybody's best interest at heart, or, you know, try to do the right thing. But so many people have what we call lack of knowledge of the higher levels of consciousness. So they get a little bit fuzzy about where they're going and what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to say that curiosity, along with all of the things, you know, doing the right things, worshiping Creator, this, that, and the other, but curiosity and the desire to get to a finer frequency and another finer frequency is really crucial. And also remember that as you go up the levels, you start to develop soul groups. So the soul groups tend to like to do things together.
Yep. Little soul troops and things. And you all maybe come back into different lifetimes with each other, switching roles at different times. And there's within the planes are levels or frequencies of levels, and people might call them dimensions, but some people call the planes the dimensions. So we're writing a book and hopefully having it out soon. Yes, please. Trying to break this down from the high crew guys. We were discussing this with them. How do we make it easy to understand? Because it's hard to describe what you're just saying. And I'm saying I'm coming from the 12th plane and beyond that, but I'm focusing towards the 12th plane to come through to this plane one. I had to get born here. That's how you get into this first plane density on the first plane level. Then there's other levels within the first plane that are ethereal. We call them the etheric levels. Everything's etheric, everything in front of us, like even Hercules perfectly said it last Saturday, how everything here is the energy, or they call it the ethers. So in we call them Assyrians, you know, so they come from the ethers, within the levels of the ethers. But they can't give us the whole description of things. So they might say, like when the space people came in 1951 to the President of the United States at that time, Eisenhower, they said they came, we were Assyrians, that's what they said. But they came from a different level. They are physical people. They come from a different level, which is a different frequency and dimension. So, like, they're walking right through us right now, that kind of dimension. But on their dimension is this beautiful there and physical, and like here. So it's there's many amazing things that we are to learn and find out about. But I used to say I came from the high realm, but I came into this a body to come work here or move through on planet Earth. I came into a high etherian body. I had to come from a 12th plane,
wait, move myself down.
Minute,
you have to...
it's hard to explain.
Well, actually, what you need to say is when you were working on the planet millions of years ago
on planet Earth,
you forgot to say that. You were...
I would always say I'm coming visiting, and they people wrote, then they say, like our friend who's writing to us today, does that mean you were a physical person from a first plane as well, from another planet coming here, visiting and walking the planet Earth? And that's when Phyllis has always told me, she says, you can't describe it. You got to describe it better. It means I'm walking on the planet like a physical person. But it's the same way my friend Balfond met me in the park in 2015. They come through as an Etherian. They might be invisible to other people around you. And they want you only to see them. And then you could hold their hand. I shook his hand, everything. They're physical to me as we are to each other, all of us. And I assumed people saw them. Until I watched the guy walk away, and I said, nobody noticed him. I said, oh, wait a minute. They did one of those where they make you see, and they've always told me as a kid, those will see who we want to see. So they can block every frequency from even a dog. That I watched him walk right by a dog, two dogs, and they never sniffed him, they never saw him. They didn't even respond to him. Mm-hmm. So that's how blocking, they can do that. So this is how I would come in. And we wear clothing or things on us that would keep us in a frequency for this density of what we're in visiting. And then when we're going back, we stay for, it could be days, could be, you know, hours. And we go back, we will just dematerialize. We'll walk away and you see the person just dematerialize, just disappear into the next frequency. And that's how we do that. But that you have to train for, and that you have to go through lifetimes and other times and places to do. And to get to Etherian levels, you can work there. So I know our friend was asking that, but I was just telling Phyllis, to get to these other levels that exist within this first plane that we're on, that it's the first plane. We're all 3D in the planes. We're three-dimensional beings. To get to those planes, here on this one, we have to be born. On the other ones, on higher levels, you can come through as if you had passed on from another time on Earth, on the heaven realms, and you're, instead of reincarnating back to this first plane, you would say, well, I'm going to go down and come back into the third or second plane or fourth plane. And there you're born too. And there's no birth, pain in birth. Birth is shorter time. Shorter time for being pregnant, let's say 5 months.
And now you're talking
a different plane.
Fourth level of the first plane,
right.
The first plane that we're all on.
Third, second plane, there's birth, and it's amazing. So we're writing a book on this to try to break it down so it's easy for people to understand, because I've been saying this for times to people, and now I get how I have to say it better. I would say to people in, let's say, a consultation, guys, I'd say, okay, well, in between the Earth life you had here in Rome or Greece, in between that to 1850, let's say, you were not here on Earth, but you were in a space, in another life form or beingness. So they could have been on the fifth level in the first plane here as an Etherian being, and they could still visit the planet Earth and shake hands with people and everything, if they came through with their ships. And that's what a lot of the Hopi Indian people experienced. I was one of those people that came from space to and visit with Hopi. So I had information that the natives told me, that when I told a native friend back in 1976, I told her what I knew from what I remembered from being in there. And she said, well, I'm going to a powwow where I'm going to meet with elders, and I'll tell them this. So when she came back, about a week later, she says, calls me up and says, can you talk about this with me? Because they got to come over. So she told me the elders were shocked that I knew the information I knew. And she said, the elders want you to try to come out there and visit with them. Can you leave? And I said, no, I can't. I was like 24 years old. But they said, this is information no white people know. And she's then
so
they that's what they
white.
Were.
Okay.
That, you know, well, guys, you know. Brinkerhoff, yes, as Dutch as it gets.
I'm just making a joke.
I'm Scottish, that's whatever I am. And half Polish. So she said, this is what they were saying. They were shocked. They thought it was another person and another native talking to her. So never got to talk to the elders, but it was fascinating to hear that from my friend, that they were saying, who is this person? Can we meet them? And she said, well, he's from space. And he said, it's in the body right now. She told him the whole story as best she could. He's not from here. And they wanted to meet me because they said, well, only somebody there then at that times would have known this information. And
so,
that was it.
So essentially what you were saying is that when,
like,
you were
3,000 years ago,
when you were visiting the Hopi, he also visited me when I was a Native American too, because he was always looking over me down through the ages.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So you were an Aetherian, you were a high Aetherian coming in with your crew to teach the natives probably about planting and
yes.
things of this nature.
And different types of corns. We had many colored ears of kinds of corn seeds that were corns you don't even see today ever. They were purple, they were green, they were all kinds of colors, including oranges and different shades of corn, because we knew that was something that they could plant and would be able to make a lot of food items from. But we were going to touch on heavens, and I didn't know if Hercules wanted, did you want me to describe some things I've experienced in the heaven realms when I visited people who have already passed on?
Sure, if you care to share that, of course.
Because I don't know how
we
much
have around,
time.
We have around 8 minutes, figure we have, until we move to Nick or Diane.
Okay.
Okay, before you do that,
yep.
I do want to say my experience that I've had with Mark, just so people understand that I've done a protocol that Mark taught me a while back, the CD Adam activation, and I started doing it. I'm kind of lapsed lately. I haven't done it for a while. But anyway, I landed up in a waking vision seeing through somebody's eyes, and I didn't realize it at the time that I was seeing through the eyes of my own higher self. And so when Mark would come into the bedroom to kiss me goodnight, because he likes to stay up later than me, he would... I would say to him, where are we? Where are we right now? Because we're always together on the higher frequencies, on the higher planes. And he would describe exactly what I was seeing as I'd be walking through the scene. And it happened a number of times. So I knew, so I personally know that connecting to your higher aspect is real.
And we teach this from
you know,
the ship.
You can't make it up. You know, he can't come in and describe a completely different scene every time and it have to be 100% accurate.
When I say how I do it with you, she's like saying, Mark, I walk in. She goes, Mark, what are we doing right now on the ship? Where are we? What's going on? So I said, I don't know. That's what I do. I go, I don't know. Then I said, wait a second, let me just stop. So I blank and I go, tune up right away. Tune in. Now I'm looking at through my oversoul's eyes, connecting through my connection that I teach people how to do. And then now I see it. So I said, okay, we're on the fifth plane of another planet system, and we're doing this or that, and we're walking over. We levitate walking. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
You levitate and you walk, which is how when my friend took me on a ship when I was 5 years old, I walked levitated over the grass. But we walked levitated and saw the colors and everything that was there, and I described what we were doing. And as I was speaking it, I was doing it. I was walking and feeling it. And on my left was Phyllis's higher self aspect, the truth, the other form. So then I said what I saw, and she goes, oh, my God, I'm walking. I'm experiencing exactly as you're doing. We're doing it. So this has happened numbers of times. So she
So we're just saying
just
that you are
that.
All closer to
yeah.
this than you think you are.
And we're all connected. And you're all connected to your over self. I won't go into that. That's too many stories of that. But there's amazing things you can see. And when you get to those levels and do that, you can access that knowledge if they're allowing you to bring it to this planet. If it's knowledge they're not supposed to have yet, they will not. You will have a scene, but you won't be able to hear what they're saying. But if they want you to do it, and that's why they gave us this information, so we're allowed to do it, so we've been given okay and to bring this info in. Because this is how I traversed the levels working before I came to this planet and other planet systems. And each planet has their own planetary levels, like Mars, Jupiter. Everybody has their own planetary levels. And I think people are questioning this right now. If the star blew up or if a planet blew up, did that planet's levels and everything disappear with it? Well, just like a ghostly form, those levels can stay, and you could still visit them. The galaxy we came from gazillions of years ago has gone away in the physical density. It's gone. It disappears. It, like, blows itself out. But our galaxy still exists on the higher realm, so we still see it. So everything, even though it looks like it disappears from this heavy, dense reality here, is still existing over there. So Marduk, or whatever they want to name the planet today that blew up, that's the asteroid belt, still exists on higher realms over there, on the other levels as well in the solar system. So our solar systems, even though the star might blow up and blow our planets out of whack and blow them to hell, right, guys, I'm sorry I said that, that those frequencies still exist, and those levels on the planes still exist in the frequencies higher than this one that we're on right now, the density.
You know, I'd like to just add one thing before we get
confusing,
off.
Confusing, yes, but
there are levels on all of the planets in our solar system. I have had lives on Saturn where I knew Mark. I've had lives on Jupiter.
Yeah, and you were a guy and I was a girl.
Yeah.
Yep. And, yeah, so those levels exist. And if you're on, oh, God, this is a, we'll have to touch on one of these in our crazy shows, our shows. You go on level 7. Let's say Hercules, Nick, everybody, Diane. We're on level 7 in the first plane right here. So we're invisible to us sitting here, but we're on another level. That's very futuristic, very beautiful. And I can give you a snippet, right, Phil? Just a snippet to give some people here for an idea of what a level might be like. Lifespans to 700 to 800.
Which level are you talking about?
7.
You're talking about level 7 on plane.
Remember, there are physicals on that side, but they're higher frequency.
You're talking about plane 1 of
level
Earth
7.
On level 7. Okay, go.
You never look older than 29 to 40. The reason they go 40, they told me, if people look older, all the people who look like 29 or 25 know that that person's really older than them. So they will let that look come in if they want 35 to 40. You know, they do that.
If they're looking for to be an authority.
Yes, they want
to,
yes, an authoritator. Yeah. Food vitality. Listen to this. This is the best. I love this. Which is true on the other free realms and other planetary systems. Food vitality absorbed by holding fruit or vegetables. You don't even have to eat it. Space travel common, medicine similar to Star Trek tech, that's what we wrote here because it's even more advanced than that. All people are aware of planets and planes and levels. The all cities stationed above land, councils, not governments, rule. Children born with education levels of 8-year-olds. We don't seem to have children coming in after a little bit after that. Marriage-type ceremonies exist for anybody, any partners, anyone.
Yeah,
there's no prejudice,
there's
nothing.
There's no sexual prejudices,
nah.
Even on the second level.
No. So that was just a snippet of level 7, that as souls here, you know, we pass on, right? We leave planet Earth, we die. Maybe die, maybe blow up, I don't know what we do. We leave planet Earth here, we either get cremated or buried, or disintegrate somehow, and we go to the next planes. Right, so we're going to bypass second plane because that's usually full of negative things, unless people are murderers and killers and everything else. So they still have to jump. We jump it if you're very good and loving and altruistic and everything. Then you get to the next planes, which is that's the third plane, which is the entry level to the first heaven levels. That's where you see hospitals for people who have traumatic experiences of death. And I've worked in the hospitals there with the angels to come in and help with people who I know. Or who I just helped with, you know, rescuing them, helping them. So that's, I have a whole thing on what that goes on there. But on a higher level of the third plane, on that heaven realm, is beautiful things happening. You've got your friends, you've got family, you've got neighborhoods, everything you remembered. Even if you're in the 1920s, it's there. Everything's there in perfected beautifulness, like Tim Beckley saw. And so it's, you've got pets, all your pets come. Everything's there. If you loved your animal, it was there. And then you move on to the next plane as you graduate in understanding on that plane. Now, what I mean by graduate in understanding, a lot of times people just get lost in the dream, and they're there in the having fun. They're going to parties. They're, you know, doing whatever.
But I do want to I want to jump in and
they have curiosity. Take some further.
I know we're running out of time. I want to say
I'm asking questions.
And I just want to say this one thing, that moving from plane to plane or even level to level frequently has a lot to do with, do you want to leave your friends behind?
Yes, thank you. Loved ones.
So that's why soul groups tend to evolve together. That's why we have a soul group up on the
Okay, and the last part I wanted to mention, I knew they wanted me to tell everybody this tonight. The crew wanted me to say this, guys, and then I'm free for you. Most people come back to reincarnate on the first plane right here, right where we are now. They come back, like, you know, 1920s, 1930s, they come back maybe 100 years later. They might have been ethereal in space, and they come back. See, that means they had a touch of the other side on the higher frequency. So they come back, right? But the crew wants everybody to know that. It's our choices. And unless we know these things are there, we won't ask about it. So unless someone you know has been in there, you could say, well, my friend told me about this other plane and the levels within that plane of our first plane on Earth where I was just coming from, where I died. And somebody, of angel, usually will say, that's true. Now, they won't say to you, you know, there's other levels within your plane. No, they're not going to do that. That's against the rules for them because it's free will. Only when we question will they help us. So people, everybody, you don't always have to come back to the first density of this heavy dense right here. You can come back to a second, third, or fourth, or fifth plane of that.
I mean, first plane.
That, because I'm speeding up, that level in this first plane density here on a frequency a little faster and higher, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful, and you're still living a physical, dense life. And you have space travel. You have different things on the higher planes.
I think that's enough.
And on that note,
I love you guys.
That's a wonderful place to leave it, though. And I could resonate with a lot of what you said, because I never felt anchored here totally. Everyone who knows me from childhood...
We don't think you are either.
And Hercules, my brother, this is where the crew wants you to know, even on those second and third levels, is the frequencies that we all talk about of the Olympian energies.
Yeah.
That's there. Yeah. That's there in a density that's physical. And that's why you might... Oh, it just goes too far, doesn't it? I'm sorry, I'm going to ramble on. So, but that's where some of that is too, not just in the heaven planes. This is another density where frequencies are there.
Well, they're like heaven planes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the heaven
realms.
They're
like heaven planes, but there are higher heavens.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you very much. That was very informative. When your book comes out, we'll have to do a special, and we'll do it on Zoom, so we can put it on YouTube.
Well, that'd be fun.
All about your book, and you could share all the information you're sharing with the world, you know, we can draw attention to your book, because I'm looking forward to reading it.
Thank you, guys, because our time is limited on planets, right? We got so much time to share, and they want us to get this info out so people can at least read it and get it in their heads. And if anything happens tomorrow, next day, or something happens to us, that information is embedded in the subconscious. So when they get out of their bodies, hoping they will remember.
They'll be curious.
Yeah,
okay.
And they'll ask about it.
All right, good.
Thanks again.
Somebody else.
Love you guys.
We love you too, Mark.
I am muted.
We'll move to Diane. Diane, the Olympians have revealed themselves to you through their Urantia book, Incarnations or Semblances. Have you been told anything about their heavens or the higher planes that they inhabit? I know that you've shared very many times in Urantia book terms where they are, but what is it like in those places? Have they ever revealed that to you?
Well, it's not exactly revealed by telling me. It's that they put me in them, you know.
Oh, awesome. Can you share?
Yeah. It's very interesting to hear Mark and Phyllis talk, and I do want you both to know how much I love to talk with you and
thank you.
Hear everything you have to say. It's just wonderful. I agree with it all.
Thank you, Diane.
I just kind of wanted to give a little background here, and then I will get into that, because in each instance and each encounter with the gods, there is a level of moving from this plane that we're in, Hercules, you know. I mean, I've told you a lot of stories, and
yes.
So I just kind of wanted to start from the beginning here. I know Mark and Phyllis don't know too much about us, and so Michael and I entered the Arantia Society the day after our 16th anniversary, July 14th, 2011. And Michael, I told him when we were entering the house to go to the first study group on that night, July 14th, I told him, I said, when you walk across this doorway, when Robert opens the door, and Robert Burns was a previous UBLA president, that's Urantia Book Los Angeles, and also a president of the fellowship. I told Michael, I said, when you walk across here, you have to remember one thing. In 3 years, you're going to be the president of UBLA too. So go in there with confidence, because Michael was kind of, you know, oh dear, you know, he's been the president of this and that, and Michael sometimes gets a little, you know, wary and scared. And I told him, no, in 3 years you'll be a president of UBLA. And he was, and he did become. In November of 2014, he did become president of UBLA. So, you know, the gods are interacting with us, and surely it is on different planes. When I got the Urantia book, it was in 1985. Now, we have put out stories that we had known about the Urantia book ever since we were born and before we were born. But in this world and talking about it right now, in 1985, that's when I first got it from the Orange County Library. And it just seemed to me when I started reading it that the gods did come out of that book, and they actually became like they were living entities. And I could see them and talk to them. And one of the first occasions of this happening, this was in November of 2012. The Infinite Mother, and that's what we call her in the Urantia book. Now, she says her name is Tethys in the Greek religion, but she came to me and she showed me pictures that were living pictures. It was like watching television. And she said that they were two Supernaphim. That's what she said. Now, Supernaphim is a word from the Urantia book. And I don't really know if it's a word outside of that. I'm not sure. I'll have to ask Nick. I watched them, and seeing them only from the neck up, but they were talking to each other and having a real good time, and I just watched them. And they didn't seem to notice that I was watching them. Now, Tethys told me, Michael and I, would be given to these two Supernaphim. And they were like angels, I guess, with a group of 10. The 8 others were from other planets, she said, beside the Earth. And then we would be the 2 representing the Earth. Later I found out that the 2 angels were called the local universe, Sun, and the local universe, Mother, from the Urantia book. As I said, when we started exploring it, it was just like the gods came right out of the book and started getting to know us. But it's really interesting. But they told me later, and this was years later, that they actually were Zeus and Hera from the Greek religion, but also Shamash or Shamash, depending on the vowels, and many other names. Zeus said that he was also Jesus, and Yahweh, and all kinds of, that he was a Supernaphim, that he was an archangel, that he was different, different names had been given him through the years. Now later, in 2013, on December 19th, I had my real encounter with these two supposed Supernaphim. My children were at school, and I've had five children. Three from my brother when my sister-in-law died, and then two of my own earlier. But anyway, the three that I got from the good Lord, they were at school, and I was dusting my upstairs bedroom. We call it the rancher room. And I was dusting the bureau when, and I've told Hercules and Nick know this story, but I don't think that Mark and Phyllis do. I'm not sure. But my right eye went black. Huh? Did you say something? Or? Oh, okay. My right eye went black, and there was a zigzag in my forehead. And my left eye, I saw what was the most beautiful angel I had ever seen. And he was the same Supernatham that Tethys had shown us earlier. And he had bright turquoise eyes and golden blonde hair. He had rays around his head and shoulders in golds and yellows and creams. And he had a kind of a long nose, like an English nose. And he was smiling at me. I'd been talking to my angels all morning, you know, which I always have since I was a little girl. And as I worked cleaning my home, I would talk to them, you know, that would be what I'd do. I asked him, I said, "Are you the one I've been talking to all day?" And he answered me and said, "Yes." And he smiled again. All of a sudden, he was seen talking to her. This was a female angel, and this was the one that we know now is called the local universe mother, or Hera in the Greek. Well, his rays had vanished, and now they were both sitting in chairs, and they had other people around them, but I couldn't see them very clearly. It was like they were very fuzzy, and I couldn't make them out, but I knew there were about 40 others around them. But I could see Hera and Zeus. I could see them very clearly. So after that, I was sitting down on the floor watching them. I was actually taken to another place. This is why I'm telling you about this encounter. I was taken to a place that I was later told was Wadsworth Mansion. It was in Connecticut, and it was a huge mansion that today they have weddings in. And this is where they said I was taken. And Zeus was sitting at the table with her in the back of me, and all of a sudden he came around the table and then stood in the center of the room. And I just watched them, and then all of a sudden I was there. I was actually in that room with them. And I knew there was a little table next to me, but it was dark. I couldn't see very well. Now, Mark will have to tell me why it's dark, or some planes or something, because I don't know. But it was very dark and fuzzy. But I could see him perfectly. And then he went over to the doors. There were doors that were leaded glass at the top and very beautiful. And he opened them up, and he asked me to go over there. And I did, and I went over to the doors, and he said, "Look out," and I did. And I saw there was green grass going down, and later I saw the pictures of Wadsworth Mansion, and that is what it looked like. The green grass going down for, oh golly, probably blocks and blocks, and on the either side, tall, tall trees going up. And then a little bird flew in and landed on his finger. And after that, and I know this will sound really strange, but music came on, and he started to dance with me, and he actually danced with me. And then after that, I saw my husband come in through the back of this room, Michael, but also with Gabriel and Venus, who at the time, back in 1985, I was told they were Mark II and Darlene. But I later found out they were Gabriel and Venus. They came in through the back door, and they congratulated us that we had gotten married, because Gabriel had brought Michael into me back in 1991 in the flesh. And so he danced with Darlene, who was Venus, and then my husband danced with Hera, and I danced with the father, Zeus, and it was very beautiful. Then afterward he came, the father stood in the center of the room, and we watched him, and we both went into his chest, and he put his arms around our chest, and us, gathered us into his chest, is what I'm trying to say. So this went on for a while, being with him, and then I knew they were bringing me back, and I was starting to cry because I didn't want to leave him, because I loved him so much, the father, Zeus. But probably, like Mark knows, they tell you, well, you have to go back, or maybe you better go back, and they told me I did. And so then later I found myself on my bed, and I was crying. And it had been about 2.5 hours. Now, where I was, they say I went to Wadsworth Mansion, which is an actual place, but it had to have been on a different level inside there. It was very dark. I don't know if Mark can explain that, but that was what happened there. In 2015, in August, and Hercules, you stop me if I'm going over.
I will definitely let you know a few minutes before.
Okay. In 2015, which was a few years later than this, in a vision, I saw myself out in my swimming pool, like in a lounge chair, when all of a sudden this Zeus and Hera, the same ones that I'd seen before, were standing by the pool. And also Tethys was there, the infinite mother spirit, Tethys in the Greek. And so I wondered what was going on. I was in a vision, so, you know, this was kind of strange. I had been meditating in my bed.
We have five more minutes, Diane, just so you know.
Oh, okay. Okay. So I asked them, you know, what they wanted, and they told me they wanted me to take them into my home. So I got out of the pool in my vision, and they came with me and followed me around to the front of the house. And I took them in the front door, showed them pictures of my parents, and led them up the stairs. It seemed like they weren't interested in the downstairs of the home. I took them upstairs, showed them my children's rooms. They wanted to go into what we call a great room upstairs. And up there, they told me they wanted to start coming to visit us and have team meetings. Well, this was really exciting. And after the meditation, I told Michael, and this is what actually happened. They actually started coming to my home and giving us team meetings. And one of the first meetings where there was a large gathering in that great room was by, well, we called her Corinth and the other young lady Della, but later I learned that they were Hestia in the Greek and Diana in the Greek. They were two beautiful angels. Hestia was a brunette with blue eyes and had a blue gown on, and Della was blonde with green eyes, and they were hosting a team meeting for us. And so we had been told about it, so we had like 25 chairs upstairs in our great room going out to the hallway and even going into the other room, the other bedroom, to try and get that many chairs in. And we found out that it was a meeting that they had arranged because we were musicians. They said that all the angels were musicians. All of them were celestial musicians. And because we were too, they had arranged this special meeting. And that was the first meeting that we really had with the large group. They told us their personal names, like Aaron. He sat by Michael in a red gown. He is actually Apollo, we found out, in the Greek. But his personal name he gave us so that we could kind of understand who he was Aaron. And he said that he played the organ and was also a musician in Greek times by the gods. And the different people or celestials that were in that meeting all explained whether they, like Della, which was Diana, said she was a singer. And like the beautiful Corinth, who is really Hestia, she said that she sang, but she also played like an organ or a piano, something like that. And each one of them would tell us what they did. Now, Michael is a singer, my husband, and also a pianist and a guitarist and writes music. And I had a singing guitar. I played guitar, a member of the union, Musicians Union, had a very bright career for about 5 years. And so they said they had come because we were singers and musicians. And we had one celestial named Persephone that she gave us the first name of Melody. And she said she was going to teach Michael how to do what she does. She was a musician, but she used art with her music. And so she was going to try and help Michael to learn to put his art. We are both artists also, to make a musical composition with art. And so this really was our first experience with the whole group, with the musical celestials, and this is kind of how it all began, that we started having these meetings. But there are other times, and as Hercules know, where they actually did take me to some other levels, but I don't know what levels they were. Like when the Father appeared one time, this was March the 5th, 2020, and told me, stop, slow down, and return to God. And that was the one right before the slowdown. And he was in a form that he didn't seem like before. It wasn't something I could touch. I could not touch him. But he came near me when I was afraid because they had put me in a tower of light. And it was like a chandelier on top, and I was really afraid. And so I told him, can they release me from this, because I couldn't move. And so he did touch me on the shoulder, and then I was freed from that.
On that note, we're going to have to leave it as to be continued. Diane, thank you for sharing such important parts of your personal journey and Michael's personal journey.
We could devote
shows just to the names that are given by celestials, because they do give different names to different people for different reasons. Some names are also titles. Some names, you have a whole staff working for a celestial, and they use the name the same with people in the company. So you've opened up the doors to a future conversation.
Oh,
and
thank you. Thank you very much.
Last but certainly not least, Nick Curto, who connects everybody everywhere, so the expert networker. Nick designed the Heavenly City on Earth that he shared images of. I don't know if Mark and Phyllis have seen it, but I've certainly seen some images, and I know Diane has seen some images. Nick recently had the experience of seeing through his eyes from a higher state of being. So we pass the scepter to you, Nick.
Well, thank you very much. I so enjoyed Mark and Phyllis and Diane and what they were relating in their personal lives. That was really quite amazing and quite wonderful to hear. I've been a student of the Arantia book about half my life now. That's incredible. And it has certainly changed my life in many, many ways. Part one of four parts of the book, four major parts of the book, is titled The Central and Super Universes. And paper 11 underneath that title is called The Eternal Isle of Paradise. Now, they use the word paradise instead of the word heaven, which I think a lot of us have heard much more reference to that name, but the Rancho book uses paradise. And just so our listeners can know, if they want to read any passages from the Rancho book or hear any passages from the Rancho book, the website, which I highly recommend, is www.urantiabook.org. So with that, I'm just going to read a little bit of that so you get just a taste of what the Arantia book, how it's describing the Eternal Isle of Paradise. It begins, paradise is the eternal center of the universe of universes and the abiding place of the universal Father, the eternal Son, the infinite Spirit, and their divine coordinates and associates. This central aisle is the most gigantic organized body of cosmic reality in all the master universe. Paradise is a material sphere as well as a spiritual abode. All of the intelligent creation of the Universal Father is domiciled on material abodes. That's interesting. Hence, must the absolute controlling center also be material, literal. And again, it should be reiterated, the spirit things and the being things are real. The word real is italicized for emphasis. One more little bit of this is the material beauty of paradise consists of the magnificence of the physical perfection. The grandeur of the Isle of God is exhibited in the superb intellectual accomplishments and mind development of its inhabitants. The glory of the central aisle is shown forth in the infinite endowment of divine spirit personality, the light of life. But the depths of the spiritual beauty and the wonders of its magnificence assemble are utterly beyond the comprehension of the infinite mind of material creatures. The glory of the spiritual splendor of the divine abode is impossible for mortal comprehension. The paradise is from eternity. There is neither records nor traditions respecting the origin of this nuclear isle of light and life. Wow, that just really, that just
wow.
Wiped me away. Just that
yeah.
One, I mean, it just absolutely makes you spin. And we mentioned this in the last program, part one, but the amazing descriptions and very, very specific details contained in the Arantia book absolutely blow me away all the time. It's very, very specific. Now, when I was growing up, with a Roman Catholic background, going to church and so forth, this whole subject was incredibly vague. I only remember very, very few things, that if you were good on this planet, you will be going to heaven, and that in heaven you will at some point be able to meet God, the Universal Father. The description of heaven was almost nothing. I just remember, and this might have been through books, Christian books, when they were talking about angels with wings and playing harps and harp music and so forth, and everything was white clouds. And beyond that, there was very, very little description. So this was a major discovery for me personally, and I'm sure for thousands, tens of thousands of people that have found this book, the Arantia book, that this gives you such specific information. And it's it really kind of makes you feel comfortable that there is much, much more, and this is only the beginning. The Arantia book says that this is the beginning of your universal career, your universal career. Wow. Which means that all of just about everything is in front of you. And the Arantia book does go into that very specifically. I think that's really an interesting part of that. Again, from Michael, Mark and Phyllis, and from Diane, they both emphasized something that I really picked up on. My ears heard the word intent. If it's your intent, and if it's your wish, and I think there's a lot to that, that you have to ask, you have to want, you have to, with your deepest in your heart, want so badly something, something wonderful, something good, whether it be something for your life or others, or for the planet, or for our brothers and sisters everywhere. And the intent is a very key word, and they both did use that. And I really, when I heard that, I went, wow, we're all on the same page on these subjects. How are we with time, Hercules? I know this, it's short.
I found while I was experimenting with a board that because I skipped a few shows to do Zoom shows, I actually have a bank of some minutes left. So we don't have to worry about rushing to give our contact information. So we could go for another 10 minutes past our time if you like.
Great. Great. Okay. Well, do you want to go back to a general conversation or should I read a little bit more? That's totally up to you.
Well, you still have the floor. So you can definitely read more if you like.
Okay. Let's just go a little bit more then. Following what I had just read, God dwells, has dwelt, and everlastingly will dwelt in this same central and eternal abode. You have always found him there and always will. The universal Father is cosmically focalized, spiritually personalized, and geographically resident in this center of the universe of universes. We all know that the direct course of pursuit to find the universal Father. You were not able to comprehend much about the divine presence because it is remoteness from you and the immensity of the intervening space. But those who are able to comprehend the meaning of these enormous distances know God's location and residence just as certainly and literally as you know the location of New York, London, Rome, and Singapore, cities definitely and geographically located on Urantia. If you were an intelligent navigator equipped with ship maps and compass, you could relatively find these cities. Likewise, if you had the time and means of passage, were spiritually qualified, and had necessary guidance, you could be piloted through the universe upon universe, and from circuit to circuit, ever journeying inward through the starry realms until at last you would stand before the central shining of the spiritual glory of the universal Father. Provided with all these necessities for the journey, it is just as possible to find the personal presence, stand before the central shining of the spiritual glory of the universal Father, provided with all the necessary, possible, find the personal of God at the center of all things as to find distant cities on your own planet, that you have not visited these places in no way disproves their reality or actual existence. That so few of the universal creatures have found God on paradise is in no way proves either the reality of his existence or the actuality of his spiritual person at the center of all things. And that just gives you such a feeling of the magnitude of what's out there and what you will be experiencing as you do your universal journey that is one of our purposes is to do that. And the Urantia book says that you start here, but you go so much further and time is of no consequences whatsoever. Now, everybody has their own vision of what this is. I always felt as though it would be always after graduating, as the Urantia book readers say, they don't say die, they say we graduate. And that's one of the reasons they say that. And usually when someone passes on or graduate, they don't wear dark clothes and dark veils. If anything, it's a celebration of one's life on this planet and the fact that they're on an amazing journey towards all center of love. Limitless love, which is God the Father, the universal Father. And I just love that concept. It just fit like a glove. When I first heard that, I went, I've got it. I know what I'm reading now, and this is the book I somehow knew existed, and I searched high and low to find, and I found it after coming to New York and going to the Universal Church, a Unitarian Church, the All Souls Unitarian Church in Manhattan, and the minister read three passages from the Arantia book, and it absolutely floored me. I felt like I had been hit by a spiritual truck. Everybody left the church, and I spent 20 minutes in the pew, I would say calming down in a wonderful way, because I believe at that moment I had found what I was hoping to find, and it was called the Arantia book. And I've never looked back from that. Every time I read the book, either by myself or with other readers, it's always vibrant, it's always new, and you always discover so much more every single time, every single paragraph. You can go through the paragraph and 10 times, and you'll get little nuggets of information that dawn on you. It connects the dots even more. And it's a joyous thing to read this book and to learn. Also, my favorite part of the book, I have to say, this is personal, is the fourth part of the book, which is the life and teachings of Jesus. And I just would like to describe that as,
sure.
Instead of before I found the ranch, we all set? This is the last part?
5 more minutes, Nick.
Okay, I'll just do this quickly. Is that I describe the book, especially the life and teachings of Jesus, which is part 4 of the book, is that before I found the Arantia book, or it found me, the life and times and teachings of Jesus seemed like a black and white small screen with no sound, maybe a player piano. And the Arantia book is incredibly detailed on such a level that reading this, the life and teachings of Jesus now, it seems like a immersing experience. It's like you are there. You're not like looking on. You are standing there, and you were smelling the fragrances, knowing the people around Jesus, knowing how he communicated, and you feel as though you are right there, and that's a gigantic difference. It's like stereophonic sound, high definition, and the biggest screen you could possibly imagine. That's the difference of reading the Arantia book. Okay, Hercules, that's it.
Thank you so very much, Nick. We learned a lot today about each other and about our experiences and our perceptions about the higher realms and our higher selves. I'd like to plan a third show so we can start focusing more on the higher self. We touched upon that a bit today, but I feel it's deserving of its own conversation. And I guess we'll end today with the people sharing their contact information. I want to thank all of you. This is incredible. The amount of information that was shared today. Some people will be receptive to some of the information and not other. So it's good that we got 3 different perspectives that could be shared. And I really appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation. So since we ended with Nick in the speaking part, we'll begin with Nick on the sharing contact information part.
Okay, really quick, I'm going to give everyone my email address, and please, if you have a question or a comment, I certainly would welcome that. My email address is nicknyny1, the numeral 1, at gmail.com. Again, nicknyny1 at gmail.com. Love to all.
Thank you very much. And Diane will be in the middle again. Diane, how can people find you on the online or otherwise? And how can they listen to all the wonderful videos that you made?
Well, thank you, Hercules. We have about 114 videos on our YouTube, and we have 38 messages of Maitreya on there too, and team meetings, and they're all videoed live, or or with the recorder. But our YouTube is Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, and Andy, Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E, Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. That's the YouTube. And then our email address is Michael Duncan, and that's the same spelling, Michael and then Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N, the number one at hotmail.com.
Thank you very much. I'm a subscriber to your YouTube channel, as I am to Mark and Phyllis's YouTube channel. Thank you very much, Dan. And last but not least, this time around, Mark and Phyllis.
Okay.
Hey. That was very interesting information, guys. As you know, my beliefs are different. My experiences are totally different. So I can understand and definitely see what you're seeing. I will say this. These experiences are real for people, and the places exist for those who know that. So my experiences are way different, but that's not to say these things are not real for everyone who experiences the books and everything they read. I am not a channeler. I come from experiences, and so that's what I teach on or speak on. I don't read books, never have. I don't read people's experiences, and Phyllis knows that. So I pick up a book, and I know what's in it. And I turn it down. If I can flip through a page, I'll find it, and where it just either sets something off, and I just know, okay, it's just channeled information again, but or other information people have had from past times. So I'm just saying that that's my belief, and that's my feeling. And I've had experiences with Creator, and I've had experiences with Yehoshua. So physical experiences, too, and experiences on high realms. So how you can reach us is intergalacticmission.com. etuniversalzone.com, and my artwork is markbrinkerhoff.com. The email is mark, M-A-R-C, Brinkerhoff, B-R-I-N-K-E-R-H-O-F-F, at yahoo.com, and you can reach us anytime. I do spiritual consultations. I read auras, see auras, and hear dream interpretation easily. Thank you.
Yeah, you're really good at that. And also, he has a
YouTube. Not to mention healing and prayer for people.
That's true. We love to pray for people. Also, YouTube and Facebook.
Oh, I always forget Facebook, guys.
I know.
I don't. Hercules is where I speak to Hercules the most, is on Facebook.
Yes.
So Facebook is just my name, and you'll see flying saucers and an odd-looking dude with a bald head. That's me. That's not what I look like on the high realm, but that's what I look like right now. Remember, all their bodies are actually cars. We're just taking over them for a while, and we leave them here. So that's how you get in touch. Thank you, Hercules.
We love you guys.
That's
oh,
how my grandfather, when he was leaving this planet, described it to me in a dream when I was 14. He said it's like if your car breaks down, just leave the car. You know, you can't keep driving it. And that was very synchronistic. Thank you.
Right. We're all different shapes and sizes and colors, guys. So the souls are inside. We cannot judge anyone.
And I want to thank Mark and Phyllis for their perspective as well, because, you know, I too feel like they've expressed today that I'm not going anywhere. I came here from someplace else, and I'm just going to go back to where I came from. So I'm not on a path of having to prove myself or to qualify. It's I came here with something to do, and then I'm going to go back, and that's it. That's all there is to it.
And
that's
how we know you.
The subject for another show. But thank you to all of you. You're incredible people. And aside from your metaphysical revelations and your otherworldly revelations, you're all excellent people. And I'm proud to know you, love you all. And I'll plan episode number 3 this week and reach you all by the end of the week.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Blessings
to
everybody.
Night,
we love you all.
We love you, too. We send our love. Okay.
Much love to this planet and all planets.
Right.
Yeah, the universal love.
There you
universal
go.
Universal love.
And
thanks
to everybody who tuned in to listen. Whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you dialed in and are patiently waiting in our queue, as we have very many people who called in today, and whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you Joyous Journeys and Amazing Adventures. And again, since Michael was not able to join us today, we'll play another one of his songs. Let me locate it. We'll play Michael's song, Lift Me.
Oh, thank you, Hercules.
My pleasure.
Beautiful energy.
Oh, thank you.
I know you are here when I hear a little whisper that awakens me from my sleep.